Before we open God's word, let us pray. Merciful and gracious Father in heaven, we turn to thee, the one who knows all things. Thou knowest our hearts, thou dost know all of our needs and how much we need thee. We know that thou can provide all of our needs through Jesus Christ our Lord, and through thy holy word we pray for thy blessing and thy Spirit's presence within us and amongst us to guide us and lead us to the truth of the light of Jesus Christ and the truth and the blessings that are found in him. We pray that thou would instruct us, and may our hearts be open unto thy word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God's help, I desire that we would turn together to read from Acts chapter 3 and read the entire chapter.
Dela svetih apostola, glava 3.
Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities.
Holy Father, we gladly kneel before thee this evening hour as thou hast gathered us together to praise thee, dear Father, to give thee thanks and to meditate upon thy word, thy blessed word, word of life. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for thy blessings, for watching over us, being with us, walking with us, protecting us from all harm and evil. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the many, many blessings that we receive from thee every single day, every moment of our life. And so many times we do not even realize how blessed we are and how good thou art to us. Father in heaven, that is why we come before thee with great joy, to thank thee for the mercy, the love which thou hast bestowed upon us, for sending thy only Son, thy dear Son and our Savior, who came willingly, gladly, to suffer and to die for our sins, our many sins that we have committed in the past. Father in heaven, we thank thee from the bottom of our heart. And this evening, our Heavenly Father, we are ready and we are willing to hear thy blessed word. And bless the reading of Heavenly Father this evening hour, and we ask thee, dear God, to bless thy servants who will proclaim it, who will speak from thy blessed and holy word, and that we would all gladly learn it and accept it and meditate upon it and live it. May we walk, O Heavenly Father, according to thy holy will and thy holy commandments, which are not grievous. But help us, dear Father, that we would understand thy word, give us wisdom, that we will be able to discern and to know what is right and what is wrong, that we would know thy word, that we would not be deceived. For we know, dear Heavenly Father, there are many out there in this world that are trying to deceive thy people, thy children. So, dear Heavenly Father, we trust in thee and in thy might and thy power. So help us and give us clear mind. Open our hearts, O Heavenly Father, that we would listen gladly to thy small and still voice, and that we would be obedient unto thee, and that we would walk with thee every single day. Bless us, dear Heavenly Father. We ask thee also to bless those that are ill, that are suffering, that are going through different tribulations, O Heavenly Father, that have problems. Thou knowest everyone's needs, so help each and every one, visit everyone, and encourage everyone, dear Father. We pray for those that are still outside of thy fold that do not know thee as personal Savior. We ask thee, Heavenly Father, to touch their hearts and call them, and do not give them rest until they answer thy holy call, that they too would be able to take their cross upon their back and follow thee, follow the footsteps of our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Blessed Redeemer, dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this evening hour as we were able to gather together, even though in a smaller number. But we ask the Heavenly Father to bless our gathering and be with us. We ask all these favors in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
This account begins with Peter and John going up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And this was probably something that they did as a matter of a pattern in their life and dedicating this time in prayer and devotion to God. And they had probably done this many times in the past, but this particular account and this particular instance of them going to the temple becomes a day that is recorded in the scriptures where God had worked through them to heal a man that was born lame from his birth, and also that would open up a window and an opportunity for Peter to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that many who had heard would receive the word. And it says in the next chapter that many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. It's so possible, and it's so expected, perhaps, in our day-to-day life, that in our routine, the things will always be the same. We go about our day, we go about the things that we practice, and yet God saw fit to intervene, as it were, to take part in this day. And that made all the difference. They are servants of the Lord, Peter and John, and they are willing to be sent by the Lord to do His will. And so they appear in the right place at the right time for God to work. And we see these amazing miracles of a transformed lives through the Word of God. We also see this man that's born lame from his mother's womb. They had carried daily. This was a routine for him to go to the temple, and he was expecting to get a few coins. Perhaps somebody would be merciful. Somebody who is maybe we would think is really devoted to God and had some extra change, willing to share. That was all he was expecting. And even as he sees Peter and John, he looked at them, and Peter and John said, "Look on us." And he paid attention, because his expectation was he was going to get a few coins. But he received far more. Our hope and our expectation is to be upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when He is our possession, when He resides within our heart and in our thoughts and in our lives, in the service that we do by His grace, He provides the blessing. We read in the last verse of this chapter, "Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son, Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from His iniquities." Jesus Christ was sent to fulfill this promise of blessing to all the kindreds of the earth that God had given to Abraham thousands of years before even this had happened. Jesus was that fulfillment. And we see that the name of Jesus is one of power, and it had transformed this, what could have been a very normal and ordinary day, into something of a special spiritual blessing. And that is something that I believe Jesus can always provide through His word. When we come to Him when we're hungry and we're thirsty and desiring to hear from Him, instruction, teaching, correction, He has something in store. He gives bountifully of His gifts of wisdom and His Holy Spirit to all that ask for Him, to all that are expecting and looking and paying attention to Him for what He can provide. So may our hearts and our thoughts be looking to Jesus, be thinking about His word and His instruction to us, and what He has done for us upon that cross where He suffered for our sins, and took upon him the pain, and was acquainted with our griefs. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." This is a statement of faith. It's a statement of where Peter stands. He did not possess gold and silver, and he did not value that. He possessed that pearl of great price. He possessed and was possessed and owned and belonged to a shepherd of his soul that had redeemed him and had forgiven him much. Peter knew, and we all know, that our needs are very much in common. We need the strength of the Lord. We need His grace. We need His help. We need to remember Him. And sometimes we overlook the simple gesture of help that can be so impactful. Peter said these words, and it must have been that he was inspired by the Spirit to speak it, because a man doesn't know the landscape of somebody's heart. You know, we know the circumstances that even Jesus found himself in. When he came to his hometown, they didn't believe, and he could do no miracle there because there was no faith. But in other places, there was faith, and there was a response, and these miracles could take place. Without knowing him, without being able to observe him for an extended period of time, it must have been the inspiration of the Lord. It must have been the word of the Spirit that gave him the knowledge that this man will respond to the name of Jesus. And so he makes this declaration and command, and then he takes him by the right hand and lifts him up. And with the word and with a hand extended to help, the faith of this man grows, and immediately his feet and ankle bones receive strength. Jesus teaches us that if we would give a glass of cold water, and then even in the name of a disciple, we will not lose our reward. This man needed to hear the name of Jesus. This man needed a hand extended to help and lift him up. The simple act of kindness, the simple obedience to the Spirit and the fruits that it was bringing, could have been so easy just to go through the normal routine. We're going to prayer. We're going to show our devotion to God. We're going to go through the motions, and then we're going to go home. And then we'll come back again tomorrow or the next day. But he took the time, and he didn't gloss over some of those simple commands. And it made such a big difference and an impact. I think we experience that often. Maybe when we don't expect it, and somebody goes out of their way to say hello, how it cheers our hearts that they didn't pass us by. Simple expressions of love, simple fruit of the Spirit that we all remember and know, are the ways in which the Lord works and is the means by which this miracle took place. And we see yet again more fruits. This man leaps up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. We see the fruit of love, the fruit of the Spirit. We see the fruit of joy. What joy there is in this man that was blessed by the name of Jesus Christ, was blessed to receive this help. Peter wouldn't have known that the day started like this or would end up like this. But God knew. He was part of God's plan and obedient to the voice of the Spirit, instructing him, don't forget those simple commands of Jesus Christ. Those commands that maybe seem simple to man, but are expressions of those most important commandments, to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor as ourself. To show kindness to someone who was perhaps neglected and forgotten by most. And to take that time to slow down and to attend to a need. See the work of the Holy Spirit in Peter's life. And as I look back at the verses before this chapter, this doesn't happen in isolation. Peter and John are not the only ones who are inspired by the Holy Spirit and are devoted to the Lord. We see here that after the day of Pentecost and the preaching that had taken place then, it says in verse 41 to the end, maybe we can read these verses. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And this would have been the teachings of Jesus. This would have been the things that Jesus explained to them about his resurrection and his suffering that were fulfilled in the Old Testament. And it says, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, in spending time with each other, in experiencing life and even sharing meals. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, Peter's not alone. He's part of a church that's very much united. He's part of a church that's united in doctrine, that is taking the time to fellowship, to share meals with one another, to pray for one another. And this coming together seems to have great effect and is part of God's plan for the church. That would be a part of the testimony of the church, that we would be one, even as Jesus had prayed for those that would hear from the words of the apostles and read the word of God and read of Jesus Christ, that we would be one. And this made an impact in their testimony to where they lived. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. They believed and they were together. They had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. When needs came up, the needs were met. There was a reliance upon one another in their relationships. And so their relationships must have grown stronger as a result. Because if we can be independent and hold to our own and not need others and not see the value in the community of faith, the testimony grows weaker and we become weaker in our relationships. Paul wrote to the Ephesians about this very thing. He wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, 19 to the end here. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. There is one unifying factor in the church, and that is the cornerstone. That's the reference point, Jesus Christ himself, the teachings of the apostles and the prophets upon that. And then us, fitly framed together, growing into a holy temple in the Lord. The effect of gathering together is drawing us to a holy walk, a separated walk from the world, as Jesus Christ is cleansing us with the washing of the water of his word. It also says, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Each and every believer who is born again becomes a temple of God and has the Spirit residing within them. But in this verse, it's explaining that there is a habitation of God that is made as we come together. And I believe that there's more strength. There's more shared and blessing in a body, in a community of believers that is drawn together upon Jesus Christ in his corners as a cornerstone, that God would be in our midst, that God would be seen in our lives, in the love, in the joy, in the peace. These things are lacking in the world. And God is calling us to these things, to have these fruit of the Spirit. And each and every one of us has a role to play in coming together in unity of doctrine, in unity of fellowship, in love for one another. And this is the environment of the Spirit. That brings about the Spirit working, leading Peter to do these things. And so many people noticed what had happened and came together and marveled. And Peter takes the opportunity to talk about this cornerstone, Jesus Christ. He talks about the truth about how each of these individuals were relating to Jesus. A few months before this, perhaps even some that were in the crowd were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." They had denied him in the presence of Pilate. They had denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer to be granted unto them. They killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are all witnesses. He told them the truth about how they related to Jesus Christ. And it must have cut to the heart. And that is what the truth does. It's sharp and it cuts. But it can cut both ways. The truth about the relationship between us and how we relate to that cornerstone before we become believers. Cuts to the heart. It hurts to know that we're separated from God and that we will be destroyed. And our souls will not live forever in peace without Him. But at the same time, for the believer, the truth of our relationship and how we relate to that cornerstone, He is our reference. He is our Savior. He's the one who has bought our redemption with His precious blood. We're whole. We find our peace. We find our fellowship with God in Him. And that truth is a joy. And we need to take time to meditate upon how we relate to that cornerstone. Every stone in a building, every brick in a building, has some relationship to that cornerstone. And in a building that's built well, all of those bricks are leaning towards that cornerstone. Their weight is pressing in towards that. In a church that's functioning well, we are to be drawing near, compacted together by that which each and every joint supplies, growing closer. Buildings that are falling apart tend to be turning away from that cornerstone. They're separating, they're splitting, there's cracks dividing. But Jesus and the description of the churches given in the New Testament is that Jesus is the cornerstone. And we are being fitly framed together by Him to grow into a holy temple unto the Lord and a habitation of God through the Spirit. And it's interesting that Peter and John are coming to the temple where God was worshipped and sacrifices were done in the Old Testament. This was supposed to be a habitation of God. But now the Lord is building up a new covenant body, a place for the Lord to dwell, for the Lord to be seen, for His glory to shine forth in vessels that of themselves have no glory, in earthen vessels, in clay, in the dust. That's what is seen on the outside. But as the Spirit works, the fruits that are born bear testimony to the God who is true in our relationship to that cornerstone. He gives them instruction, what they are to do. Because Jesus' work on the cross was part of God's ultimate plan of redemption. And to become a part of that plan and to become a child of God, He instructs them, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." It's one word that comes to mind as I think of repentance and conversion is not to live a double life. Not to live a double life. That causes instability and a tarnishing of our testimony. And it goes contrary to the command of Jesus Christ, who said, "Repent," to turn from sin, to depart from it, and be converted. Allow yourself to be changed. He says later on that the blessing of God is found in this, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. The Lord can purify our hearts by turning us away from our iniquities, turning our eyes and attention away from the things of this world that really do not matter, and turn us to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the true blessing. Peter and John knew they didn't have gold and silver with them. but they took the name of Jesus Christ with them. That's the true blessing that we can share with one another as we fellowship, as we meditate on the Word, and as we worship God together. May the Lord add His blessing to His Word as we sing and pray and fellowship with one another and encourage each other in the faith. Amen.
They had to carry him. He could not walk. And I'm sure that he was not in church or front of the gate on time. He must have been there early before anyone else would come to church. If he came in on time, he would have missed perhaps some of the coins or money that people would otherwise give him. The lesson for all of us, for me, if I would come to church on time or late, perhaps I would miss something from a song that was sang, the first song. Perhaps from a prayer, perhaps from reading. If we come late, we might miss a message for us. So for me, these few verses in the beginning is telling me that it is good to be in church early. If we come on time, we are perhaps late. Another thing that stands out to me, at least in this chapter, it's a beautiful chapter. This man was expecting money, help. He needed help. Back in those days, there was no disability. So he was not able to work. His parents had to support him. It says that he was born lame. He was not able to walk. He did not know how to walk. So his expectation, as brother mentioned, were to receive help. Now, if Peter or John had silver or gold, and let's say that they did and they would give it to him, what would that do to this man? It would help him, but for how long? A month? 2 months? Maybe a little longer. But he would be back to the same state once he would run out of the money. But that's what he was expecting. That's what he needed to survive. But he did have faith and he had hope. That's why he came to that church, the temple, and he sat at the right in front of the gate. It's called Beautiful. Nice name for the gate right before front of the church, the temple of God. Now, it's interesting that when Peter told him, we do not have any gold or silver, maybe he was disappointed for a little while, or at that time when they told him that, because he was expecting it. But he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. How do you rise up and walk when you never walked? I'm sure that he did not jump up. He never done it before. So that's why Peter had to extend his right hand or take him by his right hand and help him up. And immediately, as he lifted him up, his feet and ankle bones received strength. To look at this verse spiritually, my dear friends, might not be nice to say, if you're outside of God's fold, as we were before, we were lame. We were blind. We were sinners. We needed help. Just like Peter helped this man to raise him up, we needed help too. Don't try to do it on your own. You will not make it. You will fail. When we try to do something on our own without Jesus Christ, without God, we will fail. Let us always trust in Him and in His might. And I know that when we expect God's blessings, how many times do we get His blessing and even more than what we expect? God is so great and so good that He watches over us and He protects us from all harm and evil. And the blessing that we receive from Him, it's so much more than we even expect. So let us be faithful unto Him and let us be in the constant and continuous prayer and ask God to help us in our need, to walk with us, to protect us, to give us the strength that we need so that we can be also leaping and walking and praising God. And to Him be all the honor and glory now and forever. Amen.